So good to see so many of you return back for this evening's afternoon worship, and I'm glad that you have chosen to be here as we continue to worship our God this day. I hope and pray that the lesson I had expounded earlier has helped you out, and I hope that what I have chosen for this evening is one that would help us out as well. If you're visiting with us, it's good to have you with us. Most of you I see I recognize, so we got the core group of the members here. But notice the disparity. Notice there's some missing. So for whatever the reason is, we hope and pray that they can be here with us the next time. Amen. And let's keep Brother Dismute in prayer too. Brother Dismute is a good ways from us. So we hope and pray that all goes well with him and the preaching that he's doing. And more importantly, that he gets back here safely and be back with us. All right, if you have your Bibles, we're going into the New Testament this evening. That's going to the book of Philippians. We're gonna look at Philippians chapter 4 just for the moment. And then I want us to go after we read Philippians chapter 4, 15 through 18. I want us to look just briefly at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 and 3. That's Philippians chapter 4, 15 through 18. And then we're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2, and 3. All right, if you have it, let us begin. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, let me get this thing here. Okay, slight technical difficulties. Okay, now you can hear me. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 and 3. The apostle writes, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God, our Father." These two congregations of the Lord's church were dear to the heart of the Apostle Paul. It would be during his second missionary journey that Paul would receive the Macedonian call and come over to Macedonia from Troas, Acts 16, 9 through 12. Upon entering these providences of Macedonia, Paul and Silas would establish the church at Philippi and then later at Thessalonica. Paul wrote his first epistle of the New Testament to the Thessalonians while on his second missionary journey. It would be some years later that he would write to the Philippians during his first Roman imprisonment. Paul was very fond of these congregations because of the favorable report he had received concerning their spiritual welfare. Epaphroditus brought report to him for the Philippians, and Timotheus the Thessalonians. My question, though, I would like to pose is, what was it that after a period of 13 to 15 years that would cause this apostle to be so pleased to hear the status of these congregations, to hear of their report? When you look at 1 Thessalonians, as we just read a moment ago, chapter 3, here's an assessment Paul had concerning them, beginning at verse 6. "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and love," or charity. Now, isn't that good? Isn't that good that Timothy didn't come back saying, man, that church is in turmoil. There's confusion. There is strife. They're about to split. They can't get along. Some of them can't stand each other. And yet that's God's people. That's not a good report. And as I speak right now, that possibly is going on somewhere in the Lord's kingdom, in the brotherhood, at this moment. When no one can come and worship peacefully, there's tension in the air. There's some disagreement going on. And yet, of all places, the church is supposed to be that refuge where you can escape from the world and come amongst God's people of like precious faith and be able to worship God at peace. But that's not so all the time. You see, the church has two sides to it. It has a perfect side. That's God and his will. And then there's the other side. That's us, the imperfect discipleship. So you have an imperfect discipleship trying to follow a perfect God and law. Now, God did not give us something that we could not follow. No, sir. And so we can become what God would have us to be when we surrender, when we obey, yes. There can be agreement, and there should be agreement. You see, Paul told that church at Philippi, let us attain and walk by the same rule. Philippians 3, verse 16. If we're walking by the same rule, then there should be some compliance of unity taking place because it came from a perfect God. And if every man and woman would just give into the law that God has given them and surrender to it, there would be peace and harmony. Isn't that what Paul told the church at Ephesus? For he is our peace. Ephesians 2, verse 14. That's right, the Lord is. He's the God of peace. And so peace should reside. I don't want to get too far ahead of us. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice what Paul says. But now when Timotheus came from you, verse 6, unto us, he brought us good tidings of your faith and love, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, designed greatly to see us as we also to see you. Now, isn't that beautiful right there? That's a beautiful thing when you desire, you can't wait to see your brethren, especially be around ungodly people all week. You look forward to seeing your brethren. It's a wonder that sometimes we just don't get in the car after we leave work and go straight to a brother's house and say, man, I'm glad to be around you. After all day what I've been around, cursing and telling dirty jokes and doing things that most people do who are not concerned about their soul at the moment. But you, on the other hand, you know. And this can be vexing to your spirit all day. It's a challenge. But then you look forward to being around the brethren. That's why when the first day of the week comes, it's a shame when a brother and sister don't want to be here. Yes, it is. And so as he wrote here, designed to see you greatly, to see you, see us as we also want to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all of our affliction and distress by your faith. Did you hear that? Paul said, we were comforted in our afflictions and distress, the fact of knowing. You see, we're not alone in this. We have brethren that love God just like I love God, like you love God. There are others that love the Lord just as much as you do. And that's what's comforting. That's right. You see, we take solace in that. So they have become examples of a healthy spiritual congregation, the church at Philippi and the church in Thessalonica. When the congregation of the Lord's people are deeply in love with the Savior and with one another, somebody's going to know about it. Yes, sir. The Lord said in John 13, 34, and 35, you've heard these verses, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. Now, how is somebody going to know that you belong to the Lord? Love. Love is how they know. I want to call your attention to what Paul said to the brethren at Philippi concerning their support of his ministry. Remember, he said how in their giving, it was like an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice that's acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. You see, they took extra care to provide for Paul when no one else did. The Philippians did. It's always good when somebody gives you something. You know, when you think about it, is there any wonder why the Lord says it's more blessed to give than to receive? Because giving teaches us something that receiving doesn't. When we give of ourselves. It feels good when you're able to bless someone, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And you're not just giving because you can boast about it, but you're giving because genuinely you're concerned about the well-being of that individual. That's right. That's what it's all about. Amen. You know, the Bible says, for you know the grace of God, for though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And here is the zenith of giving, that he became poor, that ye might become rich. Did you hear that? He was rich, but he left heaven and became poor that you might become rich. That's what I'm talking about right there. Did you know Christianity is all about sacrifice? Yes, it is. That's something you learn. That's something the world don't teach out there. But when you come into to God's house in school, you're going to learn how to sacrifice. You see, my brother, real love prompts action. It's giving. Doesn't the word of God support this idea? John wrote, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3:18. See, love shown is the result of love known. It is an aroma that is sweet to its recipients. You see, everybody gives off a certain aroma. There's some odors that don't smell that good. There's some odors you like, oh man, you about want to go the opposite direction. And then there's some, and I'm using this in a metaphorical sense, there are some aromas of people you just don't want to be around. That shouldn't be true of the Christian, though. You should be giving off a type of aroma that causes people to be attracted to you. When you are a person that's full of love, the love of God in your heart, and you just give and give, you're that type of person that will come to the aid of someone when no one else will. That's what separates us. And you don't know that the opportunity you take at that moment could be an opportunity to save someone in your action. You see, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so Jesus gave and Jesus gave and Jesus gave of himself. Would he not ask us to do anything any less? Amen. And so that aroma, I know some of y'all probably got some good cologne. Yeah, you sure smell good. Yeah, that's right. And then some cologne, you're like, man, you should have left that on the shelf. That smell like wild weeds or something. And you got some people put on some cologne, man. It's so strong, they left the room 5 minutes ago, you still smell them. Yep, he been here. Yep, she been around. I can still smell it, that's right. But then on the other hand, there are some pleasant odors. And then this aroma here, this sacrifice was sweet smelling unto God. And it came up before God because of the love they demonstrated in supporting Paul. Well, then let's take just for a few moments. I'm not going to keep you long this evening. All right. I'm going to try to do a Montreal. I'm going to be done before. Well, we're already after two. But I seen Martrell be done 10 after 2. I said, man, I'm impressed with Martrell. I got to learn how to do that. Man, Martrell's smooth, man. Came up here and told you everything you had to know. He said, all right, that's it. Man, I appreciate my brother. He's pretty strong. That's all right. I can't never get done. But anyhow, the aroma can be so pertinent. And when it's pleasant to the recipient. So what is this all about? You see, brethren, we want to get a pork cart full of A's. Let's get some A's on our pork cart. A B is all right. C, okay, need to work on it. You get that D, I ain't going home. And you get F, you're looking for another place of residence. The mom and daddy ain't trying to hear that. Isn't that right? We're going to try to get some A's on this part. What's the first A I want us to get? Let's get association. The association of love. Oh, how important is that A? Did you do good in that class? Let me tell you, if you did good in that class. Who in here are teachers? Raise your hand. All right, don't you grade me too hard, Val. Cindy, I see y'all teachers right there. Yeah, y'all getting ready. Yeah, I see y'all getting ready to grade me right now. But anyhow, that first A is association. You know why so many young kids are distraught right now in America? Most of them came out of broken homes. And most of them have never experienced what real love is all about. And that's why you got a young generation right now that's angry. And they don't feel anything. And a generation like that is dangerous. That's why you got here go out and buy AR-15 and go out and start slaughtering 15 people. Well, you know the love of God ain't in his heart. It's not there. So that first A you need to get on your pork card, brethren, is association. Now, what association is so key in this matter of this love? So many go through life without real love in their lives. And then sadly, even some members in the church go through this. And they're supposed to be Christians. You see, God initiates this love. You got 1 John? Give me 1 John chapter 4. I know I ain't need no verses. I'm going to see how quick you can get there. 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 11. Yes, sir.
The one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God.
Did you hear it?
God is love.
He that loveth not knoweth not God. Because the very essence of God is love. We serve a God of love. Now, this is why association is so critical. It's important. Now, how you going to love someone and you ain't spent no time with them? How you gonna do that? None of us can. Bob, the reason why you love Karen so much is because you've been with her forever. And that's wonderful. Matter of fact, Bob, you probably love Karen more now than when you first met her. Yeah, because now you know Karen. You've learned some things about Karen. And that goes for any one of us. You know, first we are attracted by that appearance. And we are so infatuated with our person that we're prospecting to marry. And we go through our dating process, and we like some things about them. Then after we get married, now we begin to learn them. We learn their strengths. We learn their deficiencies. We learn all of it. Then we learn how to accept it. And then we learn to love them even more. Because now we've learned who they are. And that's who I love, and that's who I trust. But let's take it a little bit higher. Let's take it to God now. God is perfect. Woo. Now see, I just mentioned your mate. They got flaws. God doesn't have any. God doesn't have any flaws. Oh, you can trust God in the matter. And we need to fall in love with the Lord. That's right. Keep on reading.
No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God will within us.
That's right.
And his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him.
Yes.
And he is in us because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
All right, we can stop right there. Now, love is defined as an emotion of a strong affection. and personal time. Isn't that beautiful? God instilled that in us, that we can love one another. Isn't it wonderful, you know, a wonderful virtue that God has given to each and everyone to have the capacity to possibly exhibit and express kindness, compassion, and affection? Yes, the association of love. And when we spend time with God, we begin to learn of God's love. You see, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, but it doesn't stop there. The second is just like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, did you notice? It started with God first before you begin loving that neighbor. You see, that association with the God of love is so critical. You need to get an A on your report card on that. That's right. Maybe that's why we have some members that are just so disgruntled. They don't seem satisfied. They don't seem happy. My question is why? God demonstrated how much he loved you. If no one else loves you, God loves you. You spend some time with God in that association, and I believe your attitude will begin to change. That's right. Even when we were offensive to God, God still loved us. Oh, that association is so critical. And so God's love is so unbelievable. Look at Romans chapter 5 just for a moment. We've read these verses before. We'll look at them right quick. But Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says, for when we were yet without strength, verse 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, peradventure for even a good man, some would even dare to die. We wouldn't. Some of us probably wouldn't even die for a righteous man. Oh, good man. Oh, wait a minute, what are you asking me? Wait a minute, you asking me to die for him? But wait a minute, he ain't a criminal. He's not a murderer, a thief, extortionist. He's a good man. And some of us wouldn't even dare die for him. But Christ went beyond that. Christ died for the ungodly. That's what I'm speaking about right now. Gotta spend some time with the Lord. Learn about the Lord. Learn who God is. And learn of that love. And then you practice it in your everyday walk. When you have dealings with, you know, the greatest part of our being a Christian is our relationships with people. That's why the greatest command is to love God, then your neighbor. And who's your neighbor? I'm not talking about the one that lives next door to you. Of course, that can be included, but that's everyone you come in contact with. Isn't that right? So he goes on here, he says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The more we love the Lord, the better we'll be able to choose between that which is excellent and best, brethren. You know, when you think about Paul's prayer for the Philippian brother, he says, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You see, the focus of love is knowledge, and the force of love is judgment. Oh, the song had it right. The person that wrote, I am thine, O Lord, says it best. I am thine, O Lord, I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. When Jesus resurrected, Jesus looked at Peter. Lovest thou me? Do you love me, Peter? See, that could be each one of us standing there. Do you love me, Peter? And you know, Peter said, you know I do, Lord. And what did the Lord require of him? Now go feed my sheep. You see, there's the sacrifice once again. I'm asking you to do something for me, Peter. Okay, you might have messed up, but right now, I'm assuring you that we are okay. I'm assuring you, Peter, that I love you and I have something that I want you to do for me, Peter. I want you to go out and feed my sheep. So what is this association all about then? Because when we get an A, that first A in association, now we got to work for that next A. Remember, I told you now, you want all A's on your report card. Well, you know what? Why do y'all like that? Y'all, some of y'all look like y'all had A's on your report card. Y'all had A's on your report card. You couldn't wait to get home. Mama, Daddy, look. You had them C's, you ain't a little bit hesitant. You don't try to rush home. You get there, or how did you do? Well, I did all right. Well, wait a minute, I didn't hear you. Say that again. I did all right. Hey. Give me that report card. A C? How you get a C in PE? Oh my, hey, you, I mean, come on now. We're not talking about chemistry. You got a C in PE. You must not be doing nothing. Okay, I'm gonna stop right there. But we wanna get that second A, don't we? Yes, sir. You know what the second A is? Attitude. Oh, man. This is where the rubber hits the road, brother. It makes all the difference. It's the attitude. You see, I love Brother Ed over there, because Ed looking at me right now. He might not like my NFL team, but I still love him. That's all right. He talks at me, but I still love him. He's still my brother. I love him. See, I get past all. That's right. That's okay. That's all right. That's just a little entertainment thing we get into. That's okay. But because I know the Lord, and Ed is still special to me because he has the blood of Christ on him. That's right. I joke with Ed. Me and Ed love to joke with each other. And that's the fun we have in the Lord's house. But Ed, I want you to get that A on your board card now. That attitude. It makes all the difference. See, the attitude of love. It's a part of that genuine aroma. The attitude says everything. You see, that is the manner, the disposition, the feeling or position with regard to some person or thing, that attitude. The church needs members who have the attitude of love, which breeds something else. When the attitude is right, then comes humility. And you know what? That's hard for some people to humble yourselves. We sing songs about humbling yourselves, but the Bible requires us to humble ourselves. You see, the Bible says God giveth grace unto the humble. First of all, I left a part off that verse, didn't I? The Bible said God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Yes, sir. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And so that attitude breeds humility, and that is indicative of one's behavior in the house of God. And my attitude is the disposition on what I know and what I do with what I know. You understand that? That's why when you're on the job, boss gave you an assignment, you don't like it, your attitude might not be that good. You may not perform the task he gave you that well. He gives you an assignment that you love, you go all at it. That's right, MVP status. I mean, you working hard. The boss can't even believe it. You giving your all to it. But then you get an assignment you don't like. You're a little bit hesitant there. Your attitude might not be the same. That's the difference. And the attitude makes all the difference. This is the second A on your report card. You see, a genuine aroma permeates that of a good attitude. This speaks to the quality of being modest, respectful, and humble in one's behavior. As I just quoted to you before, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You know, Paul and Timothy exhibited that as they wrote their epistles to these churches. Paul says, love vaunteth not itself. It does not boast. It seeks not its own honor. He was telling this to the Corinthian church. Love is not puffed up, prideful, arrogant, or conceited. All these things are contrary to humility. Paul puts forth the greatest example before those Philippian brethren. He says, now let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. And Jesus made a statement of himself. He says here, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11:29. Ensure that you get this next A on your part, God, a proper attitude. Paul, to the same church at Philippi, says, let nothing be done through strife and vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2, verse 3, 4. When you have that attitude, it's hard to be jealous of somebody. It's hard to be envious of somebody. We need to squash that. See, because when I'm envious and I'm jealous, that might breed some malice. And I may not have good intentions toward my brother or my sister. Now, why am I preaching this lesson tonight? Because of what I'm preaching it about. You see, we need the aroma of a genuine love to permeate in the hearts of our brethren. When that is correct, then we'll have the right attitude in our treatment of one another. Isn't that correct? Amen. You see, I don't come to worship to do a brother or sister in. No, sir, I don't come there for that purpose. I don't come here to undermine somebody and to cause them to fall or trip or stumble. That's not why I come to worship. No, sir. I come to worship to edify, to exhort, to encourage that you might get closer to God. That's why I'm here. Yes, sir. See, don't get that second A now. You got the first A. If you got the first A, that second A should come, that attitude. It should be on the port card. Don't miss out on the second A, because the attitude makes all the difference. Even though I could be having a bad day, maybe I'm having a bad day at home with the wife, or the wife is having a bad day with her husband. Don't bring that to worship. You need to get that straight with your spouse. Then come, because you can bring that bad attitude here and take it out on somebody else that has nothing to do with that. If you ain't careful, why are you talking to me like that? I'm not the one that did that to you. Or maybe there's something else going on. Possibility. But as Paul told the church there at Philippi, as we think about our attitude, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem others better than themselves. Two problems that can affect strong churches is strife and vainglory. Some members who are not mature in the Lord just seem to give in to jealousy, envy, strife, desire for position, recognition, opposition, love, and flattery, and cliques. That's when someone's not mature in the faith. Lord, the last thing the Lord's church needs is cliques. You stay over there, and we'll stay over here. Or you sit over here and look at them like they're strangers. And you never associate. Now, why is it you don't associate? Now, I know we have close friends in the Lord's church, but all of us are brothers and sisters of one another. It's a sad day when I walk by and you won't even speak to me. Now, I'm going to come to you and find out what's wrong. Something must be wrong. Because I'm going to do my best to speak to you. That's correct. These are things that must be avoided. Humility is a trait of controlling self-interest, ambition, desires, and positions and wants. Being neglected, being overlooked, being ignored, not being recognized, not being honored, not given to position. That's all right. Look, see, if no one never gives you honor or recognition for something you're doing, that's okay. The Lord knows what you're doing. And really, that's all that matters. You're not here looking for recognition or ambition or honor. You're here to serve. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love which you've shown toward his name and do minister to the saints. Hebrews 6, verse 10. God knows what is going on behind the scenes. And let me say, first of all, to all the ladies that work tirelessly, working in the kitchen, trying to provide for us to have a fellowship meal, thank you so much. And give thanks unto Almighty God. Amen. Your labor was noticed, not by just us, but
let the Lord know what you are doing. That's what's great. See, it's an attitude in serving. So that's because of the association, then the attitude. And guess what the next thing is? Well, when there's association, the attitude of love makes the aroma so genuine, then the atmosphere changes. Whew. Boy, I love it when it's peaceful. Don't you love when it's peaceful? Don't you love it when you can go home, you and your wife ain't fussing? You can go home, it's, man, it's bad when you be at work and somebody say, hey man, Maxwell, why you ain't going home? I said, cause my wife there. Say what? Now I'm saying that there cause she ain't here now. What do you mean you ain't going home? I said, man, we had a terrible battle this morning. And I'm afraid. I don't wanna go home. I don't think I can deal with that this evening. See, now that's rough. You know what? I think I'm gonna stay at work overtime. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna stay at work a little bit longer. Man, you know Maxwell lately, he ain't go home no more. What in the world? What has happened? Keith, well, I mean, Kyle, what did happen? Why he won't go home? That's rough, ain't it? Now, your home will be your castle, Ed. You're supposed to be able to go home and relax and enjoy yourself. Yeah. But then you got something, can't go home, man. The atmosphere. See, you need to get that A on this one. See, if you got the A in association, and you get the A in the attitude, then this A should follow. The air, the atmosphere is peaceful. In other words, there's harmony. There's unity. There's an agreement. Everyone is working together. And oh, that is so pleasant. That is so wonderful. When we really love one another, the community is going to know. And when people come to visit, they're going to say, man, I love going to Newport News, man. Them brethren really love one another. There you go. And that's the reputation you want to go beyond the walls. Is that we know God. That is an indicative of us knowing who God is. Isn't that what Jesus said? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. The atmosphere is not good when I can't even say something to a brother or sister. When I'm already anticipating some type of aggravation. You see, somewhere in there, that person has failed in the association and the attitude is wrong. Order for the atmosphere to be correct. You see, the aroma of a genuine will exist when the atmosphere of love exists. The atmosphere is indicative of the prevailing emotional tone and mood that is a result of the attitude. See, our God is a God of peace. Romans 15:33. The peace of God is a peace that brings tranquility and calmness to the soul. Yes, the storms may be raging and the billows may be rolling, but the Lord is in the boat. And you look to him, he said, peace, be still. He's not speaking to the seas or to the winds. He's speaking to your heart. Peace, be still. Don't allow the external circumstances to rattle you when the Lord God is there in the boat with you. There you go. So therefore, the atmosphere, even though it may be tumultuous, stormy out there, the atmosphere is still pleasant because Almighty God is right there with you. Be still, brother, and know that I am God. Yes, sir. Be still. Know who I am. Now, the atmosphere, when the association is right, the attitude, then the atmosphere. See, we need to avoid disrupting that atmosphere by murmuring and disputing and complaining, which Paul speaks about in Philippians 2:14. The atmosphere of love cannot exist when there is strife, malice, and bickering and quarreling. Ooh, bickering, bitterness. That's what the young man talked about not too long ago, wasn't it? Yes, sir, Brother Webster talked about that bitterness. We can't allow that to overtake us. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmuring were destroyed. Paul referring back to the children of Israel in Numbers 14. The atmosphere of love grows and thrives amongst the members of the body of Christ. This atmosphere is not filled with unrest, but peace. Jesus told his apostles before he left, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You see, the aroma of a genuine love
permeates that of the association, the attitude, the atmosphere, and but last but not least, get this A on your report card, assurance. Now you got straight A's. That's right. You want straight A's on your report card so that when you die, you have something to present. When you go back to the Father, you got straight A's. And Jesus ain't gonna have no problem saying, I know him. Let him in. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let me tell you what love does. Love delivers, brethren. That's what it does. That's why whenever you read something about love, it's the fulfilling of all. You see, these three remain. Remember when Paul said that to the church in Corinthians in chapter 13? He says, faith, hope, and love. And what's the greatest of the three? Love. What about those virtues? He names those virtues in 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, love, temperance, and knowledge, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love at the end. Love is the crown, brethren. For if you lacketh not these things, watch what the apostle goes on to say, you shall never fall. You need to get that A on your report card, the assurance. You need to make sure you love your brethren, brethren. And I'm trying to hem this home because if we've been in here so long and that we just have not captivated that, then we might have a problem. But you need to love your brethren. I'm not talking about that hypocritical love. What did Peter say there? Let me see. That just came to mind. That's not in my notes. 1 Peter, let's look at 1 Peter just for a second. 1 Peter chapter, I think it's 2. Yep. When we think about that love, oh, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1, excuse me. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart. You hear that? Fervently. Love one another with a pure heart. Fervently. And then it's not unfeigned love. Please don't act like you love me when in deep down you know you don't. No. You know how I know when you really don't love me? It's when I really need you and you won't be there. You see, because that goes back to the attitude. You see, evidently, the teacher didn't give you an A. You put that A in. That's right. It was a C, and you took a pen and completed it and made it an A. Y'all know I know all the tricks, too, now. That's right. The assurance of love will deliver you in the end. You want to get all A's on your report card. The very assurance in the end will help us out. Peter said here, he says, seeing that you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another fervently. You know, Peter didn't exemplify that all the time, did he? Back in Galatians chapter 2, remember that? When those Gentiles came, whoa, he was there with the Jewish brethren. Man, he got up, whoa, there was dissimulation going on there. Why you act like that when we come around right? Why you treat me like that? What have I done? See, that, then the atmosphere is not right. Because your attitude, you just display, you tell me one thing, but you do another. I don't know if I can trust you or not. And that's a sad thing when we can't trust our brother or sister in Christ. You tell me you love how I do something, then you get on the phone and call another brother or sister and say, you know, I don't know why they're doing that. I don't understand that. Then that person you talk to come back and calls the person that you're talking about. And then they come back and look at you, I can't believe you did that. You just told me that I did a great job, but yet you got on the phone, called somebody, and now you're talking about me. That's an unfeigned love, that's what that is. And that's ungodly. That's not godly at all. That's an F. That's right, you're failing.
You got to do better than that. Yes, sir. You got to see, your intentions are corrupt. That's what they are. And that shouldn't be. Let me tell you something. Could you please keep a secret? I'm going to tell you something. Now, let me tell you, if it ain't good, maybe you're not tell it. Loose lips will sink ships. It'll sink that relationship every time. And you tell them, and it gets juicy, and they may not be good at it. You think that's a good safe? Oh, man, somebody cracked the numbers to that safe in a minute. And they'll just sing like Whitney Houston. That's all. Just like she sung them, right? What's that, Star Spangled Banner she sung? And they'll sing it just good as she can. Just tell it all your business. If it ain't good, don't tell it. Keep it to yourself. That's right. Because people do talk. And they talk a lot. And you like, no, how in the world did they get that? Then that person confront you and tell you everything you said. And you can't believe you're being confronted. No. You need to get those A's. You see, the aroma of a genuine love starts with my association with God. And because of my association, then I'm going to adhere to everything God has commanded me in his word, because I'm going to love his truth. And then with that comes my attitude. Oh, Lord, hear him. I send me. I'm going to do all that I can, God, to bring glory to you. I'm going to do all I can to take care of my brethren whom I love, Almighty God. Then comes the atmosphere. Lord, I'm going to make sure I'm not the one that's disrupting the harmony and the unity in the congregation. I'm going to make sure, God, I'm not the one that's causing discord amongst my brethren, Lord. I'm going to make sure, God, that whatever problem my brother or sister may have, I come to their aid, not to destroy them. And thus far, I'm going to make sure that I love my brother with a pure heart, fervently. And you know what the assurance of that is in the end? And God will say to you in the last day, when you stand before the August Supreme Almighty, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Enter into the joy, all because you loved your brother. Hereby perceive we the love of God, what it is. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There it is. All right, I'm going to stop now. I hope and pray this has been somewhat beneficial. I hope that we all get A's on our report cards, that we'll be able to go home in the end, not with a frown, but with a joy, knowing that we've laid down our lives and we've gave it all. You know, Paul said, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but to all them who will love his appearing. I hope and pray that this has been helpful tonight. And please let us love one another. We're doing a good job. Let us continue that. Let us continue to give our God the glory he rightfully deserves. You're here tonight. You have not obeyed the gospel. We hope and pray you will. If you've heard those things that necessary that you need to do, if you know you need to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know that you need to repent of your sins. You know that you need to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you need to take care of that, we're here to do that this evening. As members of the body of Christ, do you have all A's? Now, if you got a B, work on it. See, because B wasn't in there. I got all A's. See, all of them were A's. Association, attitude, atmosphere. There it is. You need to get all A's on that. All right. If you have not done so, work on that. And let us embrace one another and have this, enjoy this great fellowship while we're on this side of eternity. So if I don't see you no more after the day, and if God calls me home, I hope to see you there in the end on the shores of heaven. May God bless you richly. Come now as we stand and sing. 421. 421.